Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right. All right, we are launching a brand new series today. It's called It's About Time. And if you've been around Wellspring for a while, you know when we do series, basically the idea is to talk about a topic, talk about an issue that we all have, and maybe a problem that you have. And the goal in the series is to show you how God solves the problem. Now, that's all a series is. And typically when we start a brand new series, especially like a fall series, I'll come out and I'll try to come up with some illustration or some metaphor we can carry throughout that we can all just kind of unite around, because sometimes we have to let people know that they actually have the issue. People aren't always convinced that they have a struggle, that they have a problem. Well, this week we're starting a series about time. And so I have no illustration, because you're all aware that you have a problem with time, because you're like me. We're all busy. You're busy. I'm busy. Everybody we know is busy. Your teenagers are busy. Your aunt is busy. Busy just happens. In fact, I would be willing to bet most of you in the room at some point this week, especially this week, because, you know, we thought maybe a hurricane was coming, especially this week, you looked at someone and you said these words: I just don't have time. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. I can't fit this in. I don't know how to figure it out. I just don't have the time. Time is one of those things that is fascinating. We all get the exact same amount. Every day, 24 hours in a day, we all get it. Same amount. Yet we always want more. We always say, just give me some more time. Just give me, you know, we're always fighting and struggling. In fact, here's a statement I think we could all kind of agree on about our time, all right? We live in a time-starved society that relentlessly pushes our limits to do more and accomplish more. And when I say we, I mean everyone in the room. I am a father of three children. I'm married. And, you know, my three kids are second grade, fourth grade, and sixth grade. And so I know I'm busy because I have a wife, I have kids, I have an organization to run. I feel busy. Now, here's the thing. Before I had children, I was just married. I was still busy. I don't know what I did, but I know I still felt busy. And I know for many of you, you know, you may be married, you may be dating, you may be single, you still feel busy. It's crazy how busy we are. In fact, I have some single friends here, and I think Myrtle Beach is like a really, it's an easy place to get busy, because there's so many things, there's so many clubs and civics organizations and like things you can do, and you can also like go to Broadway, you know, you know, all that fun stuff. But if you're married, you know you're busy. If you have kids, you know you're busy. If you're a single parent, you know you're busy. But do you know who some of the busiest people I know are? And this is no joke. The busiest people I know are students. Like middle school and high school students, y'all some busy folks. You better get into a good school, because y'all got a lot. I mean, seriously, it's everywhere. This is a universal issue. We are all pushed and pressed by everyone in our life, universally, to do more and accomplish more. We're always pushing, we're always pressing, we're always saying yes to this, we're always saying yes to that. We feel guilty when we have to say no. You judge people that tell you no. It's just kind of this whole thing. It's almost as if you stepped back, and let's say aliens were to land on our planet. They're not, by the way. This isn't this kind of church. But let's say aliens and were to observe, right? No, I'm not talking about aliens. But an alien were to come and observe your life and my life and all our lives, here's what I believe they would come away with. Based on how you live your life and based on how I live my life and how busy we all are and how much we want to be busier and want to be busier and say yes more and say yes more and say yes more, I am convinced they would come away with this idea that busy is better. Well, obviously, busy must be better because they're all striving to be busier. They never say no. They never take a break. They judge people for taking a break. They feel guilty for taking vacations. They feel guilty for doing less in their life. So obviously, busy must be better. Be honest. Nobody's looking around. You don't have to raise your hand. Deep down, you think busy's better, don't you? Busy's better. I'm a man. I can get it done because I'm busy. And maybe you wouldn't say busy because, you know, maybe you justify it. It's like, well, it's just for a season. You know, it's just this. We're just going to try this for once. We're just going to do this for whatever. But you keep adding more and you keep saying yes and you keep saying yes. And you keep getting busier and busier and busier. And nothing ever says, hey, you should stop this. You should slow down. So whether you can articulate it this way or not, your life probably reflects the idea that you believe that busy is better. Now, some of you may be so bold enough in this moment to argue with the preacher in your mind. I know you do. And you're in your mind, you're saying, well, because it is better. Busy is better. What are you talking about? It's better to be busy. Like, the busier you are, the more productive you are, the more stuff gets done. Of course, busy is better. I actually disagree. I am not convinced that busy is always better. In fact, I don't think busy is ever better. Here's why. How many of you guys remember Slinkies? None of you? I've never seen that foreign object before. Are you all aliens? Is that what just happened? See, I loved a Slinky. I used to have a Slinky, and this is like a real Slinky. This is a good Slinky. It's a metal Slinky. You hear that? Makes that noise. Now, how long did a Slinky usually last in your house? Like about a week, right? Maybe? Because Slinkies are fragile. You know, they're great, but you can break them. But the thing I love about a Slinky is, look, I mean, you can stretch it. You can stretch it all the way out. You can bounce it. And look, it goes right back to where it was. And see, this is the way I think most of us think about our life. It's why we think busy is better, because we think we're a Slinky. And we're like, no, just keep pulling. Just keep pulling. Just keep scratching. Just keep doing more, because it doesn't really matter. It's not really affecting anything. It's better. Because look what can happen. Boom. I can go right back to where I was. But see, the reason the Slinky is able to go back to where it was is because it's got room to give. It's got some margin in it. But let's talk about your day. Let's talk about, well, I don't have margin at work because they really need me to do more, and so I've got to start working more hours. And so, okay, so your Slinky margin, that's gone a little bit. And, you know, you got a bunch of kids. You got 3 or 4 kids. And so your Slinky margin has gone a lot more. All right, I'll give you a little margin back. But, you know, you got stuff to do. Or maybe you're single and you meet somebody and you start dating, and there goes all the margin. There goes all, not only your time margin, but your financial margin as well. Gone. You know, and maybe, you know, you're married and you've got some kids and you're working real hard because you love your kids and you're pushing your kids to do really well in school because you want them to go to a really good college so they can get a really good job so that they can move out of your house into their own really good house, but they're not going to live with you anymore. We love you, students. We love you so much, but we all can't wait to love you from another house. They're laughing like I'm joking. I'm not. But no, see, all the commitments take out the flexibility of your day. They take out the margin of your day, and they take it out, and you say yes to this board, and you say yes to this volunteer organization, and then you say yes to this thing at school, and then you decide to coach some sporting teams, and your margin's all gone, but you're still trying to stretch, right? You're still, sometimes things have to go, and then things come up, and things happen, and eventually, when you have no margin, when busy is better, eventually what happens is you get pulled so far. Yeah. That is broken. Both hours, people have been saddened. You know it's not real, right? Like, there's a heartbeat going on here. But this is what happens. I don't know. We don't think this way. Like, if I were to say, how many of you feel like your life is this way? A few of you might raise your hand. You might. But for most of us, it's like, no. That's not me. You don't get it. I'm the exception. If you live your life believing busy is better, I assure you, this is not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. And it could be a breakdown of your health. It could be a breakdown of your thought process. It could be a breakdown of relationships. It could be a breakdown of your family. But it's coming. Because busy isn't better. And the reason I know that is because God says it's not. See, it'd be one thing if I was up here just telling you what I think and trying to give you my opinions, but I don't do that. I do my best to present to you God's answers, to present to you what God says about you and your life. And I have read his word cover to cover multiple times. We talk all the time. And we've been talking about time. And here's what I'm convinced he wants to say to every single one of you in this room. And it's what we're going to spend 4 weeks trying to understand and apply in our lives. We are convinced busy is better. Here's what God would say. God wants better than busy for your life. He wants better than busy. Here's what I mean. How many of you, don't raise your hand again, don't raise your hand. And I'm not judging, there's no judgment here, I'm with you on this. But how many of you can honestly say, I enjoy my life. Like I love it. I love getting to spend time with the people I'm closest to. I feel like I get to spend enough time with them. And I feel like I get to spend enough time recharging for the next week. And, you know, I really feel like I've got everything in order and in balance. And I'm satisfied. I'm content. Like, I enjoy my life. Or, are you too busy living it to have time to love it? I'm just asking a question. I'm just asking a question. You may be in this room. You may have this all figured out. You may not need any help at all. If that is the case, please let me know. And I'm going to have you coach people for the next 3 weeks. Because if you got it figured out, come on, let's go. Let's help everybody else who doesn't. Because I'm convinced that the more of us who would like to admit in this room are so busy living our life, so busy running from here to there, so busy doing all the things we think we're supposed to do, that we rarely, if ever, have time to love our life. And see, that's not what God intended for you or for any of us. That's not what his intention was. When he sent his son to make it possible for us to have a relationship with him, he promised to give us the best life possible. And yes, part of that does mean we get to spend eternity with him, and it'll be amazing. But when we only focus on that, we miss the fact that he wants to give us the best life possible here and now, right? Now, every single day, every single hour. And I'm convinced that there's not many things that we need to submit to him more than our time, that we need to invite him into, because here's the deal about time. You can never get it back. It is the most precious resource you have. Once it's gone, it's gone. But the great thing about God, and the great thing about his son Jesus when he was on earth, is that he talks about our time, and he gives us all these principles, and he gives us all these ideas and all these encouragements for how we can make the most of the moments we have, how every moment can become the best moment, how we can cross back over into loving the life we are living. And here's the amazing thing about these truths. I know that for some of you, maybe you're here today and you don't believe in God. You're here because somebody invited you. You're kind of checking out the things of God. Here's the great thing about this series. We're going to be talking about biblical principles. We're going to be talking about the truths of God and things you can apply in your life. And here's the great news. Even if you don't believe in God, you can apply the teachings of this series in your life and it will work. That's how much God loves you. God loves you so much, and he has all these ideas for you, and he wants to give you such a great life that even if you aren't sure you believe in him yet, you can begin to apply what he's saying, and it will still work. That's how desperately he wants to have a connection and a relationship with you. So what I want to do today is I want to try to convince you that God wants better than busy for your life. And to do that, I'm going to turn to a story from Jesus. And it's a story some of you may have heard before, but it's a story of Jesus. And he arrives at the home of two women. And one of the women is convinced that busy is better. And the other woman has a different approach. And contained within this story are two things that I think we really need to begin the foundation of where we want to go for the next 4 weeks. Contained within the story, number one, is a foundational principle about time that you must embrace if you ever want to discover better than busy for your life. And number two is a practical step that you can take starting right now and that we can all take together to begin to figure out more about what God wants us to do with the time he's given us. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 10. That's where we're going to be, Luke chapter 10. Luke is the third biography we have of Jesus' life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Those are the first four, we call them Gospels. Luke was actually a historian. He was not an eyewitness of Jesus. He became a Christian about 20 years later, and he actually went around and interviewed a bunch of eyewitnesses and created a history, a historical document. And in Luke chapter 10, he tells us this story. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Luke chapter 10. If not, it's going to be up here on the screen, just like always. And here's what happens. Here's what this story teaches us about time. It begins with something that's not going to sound shocking to you, but it's because we're in the 21st century. If you were back in the first century, it would be a much bigger deal. Look what happens. Starting in Luke 10, verse 38. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, Jesus and all his disciples, he had 12, they were all just chilling out, heading to Jerusalem. They came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Now that sounds nice, doesn't it? You're like, oh, Martha, she let him into their house. You know, you love when you have people over. Now, that's the 21st century version, because 21st century version, they called you a week or two in advance, maybe months in advance that they were coming. They prepared you. They texted when they were a few hours out. You could get out your iPhone and actually track them, and you know exactly when they're going to come. Okay? For Martha, Martha's chilling out on Saturday morning, and somebody knocks on her door. She opens it. I'm here, it's Jesus, and all my friends. Can we stay? The best way I can describe this, if you've ever tried to sell your house, and imagine it's a Saturday morning, and you decide to let your friends have a sleepover, and you made a big breakfast for them, and everything, you're just finishing with breakfast, the playroom's a wreck, the house is a wreck and everything, and your realtor calls and says, I want to show your house in 10 minutes. I heard a visual, exactly. This is what's happening to Martha right now. This is a five-alarm fire emergency. Jesus is at her door. Jesus wants to come into her house. It is not clean. Her laundry's not put up. She's got nothing cooked, so she starts flipping out the way anybody in this room would flip out. She starts cleaning. She starts trying to get everything done. Now, she has a sister, and her sister's name is Mary. Mary has a different response. Look at this. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. What? Martha is running around like a crazy person because people just showed up at her house unannounced. She's trying to clean everything. And Mary just takes a seat. What's up, Jesus? Long time no see. What's been going on? And just starts chatting it up. Just starts chatting with Jesus. Just starts talking with Jesus. And Martha sees this. And Martha, understandably, is not happy with Mary's response. Look what happened. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. Not they. Mary wasn't helping. The big dinner that she was preparing. She's doing all this work on her own. She's working around. Her friends showed up. Mary's friends too. But Mary ain't doing anything. And Martha's just going around getting angrier and angrier and angrier and angrier as she walks past Martha. And Martha's just sitting there yapping. And Mary's just yapping. And Martha's like, we got stuff to do. So eventually, Martha tattles on Mary. And she went to the ultimate authority. She tattled to Jesus. Think about that as a kid. If you could have sold your sibling out to Jesus, it would be like the ultimate. And that's exactly what happened. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and to help me. Now, in my brain, it actually sounded more like this. Jesus, it's totally unfair. It's not unfair. It's not helping me at all. Tell her to come help me. Like in my brain, you know when you're mad at somebody not doing something right, and like you just keep telling yourself, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Don't bring it up. I think Martha was working, and she just kept walking by, and every time she'd see Mary, she'd just get angrier and angrier because Mary's just sitting there just laughing it up with Jesus. She's like, I would love to know what joke Jesus told, but I got stuff to do. And so she's just walking around, and finally, it's like she sees it, and she just snaps. She snaps, and she just goes off on Mary and Francis. You always do this. You always do this. Always have to do all the work. Have to do everything, and you just sit there. It's not fair. Jesus, tell her to come help me. Now, Martha was completely thought she was in the right to do this. And Jesus' response was shocking. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. In my brain, what Jesus looks at her and goes, why so serious? What's the big deal? No, Jesus doesn't talk like that. That's a joke. And he never talked like that. Ever. Ever. Yikes. But he's like, Martha is just so confused. He's like, why am I worried and upset over all the details? Because you just brought 12 grown men to my house and didn't tell me they were coming. I assume y'all want food. I assume y'all want a place to sleep. I don't know, Jesus, you got some bread and fish in there. You going to feed everybody? You going to do that again? No. Of course I'm worried about the details. Someone has to be. That's what Martha's going through. She's like, what are you talking about? Worried about this? This isn't details. This is life. Look, Jesus, I am thrilled you're here. And I can't wait to sit down and hang out with you. But unfortunately, right now, I've got too much work to do. I'm too busy right now. But if she'd help me, we could get done quicker, and then I'd have time for you. That's what Martha's really thinking in this moment. And Jesus knows this. And so he speaks clarity into the situation. He speaks clarity to Martha 2,000 years ago. And he speaks clarity into us. Here's what he says. He says, look, there's only one thing worth being concerned about right now. There's only one. And Mary has discovered it. And it will not be taken away from her. Martha, you're right. Those things are important and those things need to be handled at some point. But right now, they don't. Right now, this is more important. And Martha couldn't even see it. It never even occurred to her to ask the question because she was living under the idea that busy is better. Well, of course this is better for me to do all these things because busy is better. But what Jesus is saying is, no. God wants better than busy for your life. God wants better than busy. Do you know why he wants better than busy? It's because busy often blocks what's best. Martha was so busy doing things she thought she should do, doing things for her God, that when he wanted to have a conversation with her, she says, I'm too busy. I'll get back to you in a moment. See, that's the danger of believing busy is better. Because busy often blocks what's best. Now, here's what I'd like to do. I want to read back through this story one more time. Because this time, you know the ending. This time you know who's right. This time you know who's wrong. And I want to point out two things. I want to point out the fundamental truth about time that you have to embrace. And I want to point out the practical step that we can all take to begin to experience what God wants for us in our lives. So let's go back to the top. Here's what we're told. As Jesus and his disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Same story, same Jesus, knock, 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 opens the door. Martha's like, oh no! There's 100 people here. What am I going to do? Same situation, Mary and Martha. Same situation. Two different responses. Look at this. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. Now, why would she be preparing a big dinner unless there was a big crowd? This was all precipitated by the arrival of Jesus. Jesus arrived, and they both had choices to make. And they had, in those moments, the exact same amount of time. So time could not have been their problem, because they both had the same amount of time. The problem was that they did different things with their time. See, the fundamental truth that I believe Jesus is trying to show us through this story, the reason it was recorded, the reason we have it 2,000 years later, is that when you think you have time problems, and I think I have time problems, and we all feel too busy, we need to remember this story. We need to flip back, and we need to accept what God is trying to teach us here. And it's this. The problem isn't time. It's what we do with our time. Mary and Martha, same exact amount of time. Mary was devoted to Jesus. Martha was distracted by Jesus. Think about that. Jesus arrived. Both things happened. Mary is devoted. She steps in. Okay, I'm going to sit here. Martha is distracted. Do you know why Martha was distracted? It has nothing to do with good or bad, right and wrong. Her priorities were different. Mary was able in that moment to have a little clarity and think about her priorities. If Jesus is at your house and he wants to talk to you, you stop. You turn the phone off. You're not taking calls. Like, that goes to the top of the list. But see, Martha was convinced that busy was better. I can't just sit down and all this stuff has to get done. I've got to do all these things. And none of them were bad things. They were just things she felt like she had to do because she was convinced this must be the right thing, this must be the best thing, because stuff has to get done and I have to do it. And it did need to get done. But that's why Jesus provides the clarity he provides in this moment. That's why he says what he says at the end when he says, look, there is only one thing worth being concerned about. And I wish I could add right now. Please don't hear Jesus saying that you should spend 24/7, 365 just sitting around praying and listening to Jesus. Like, you need to get up, you need to go to work, you need to take care of your kids. All those things are in Scripture. They're all very clear. Obviously, that's not what he's saying. He's just saying, in this moment, Mary has discovered the best thing, and it will not be taken away from her. It's like, sometimes you have to work, sometimes you have to play, sometimes you have to rest. But Martha, 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 sweet, sweet Martha, you just said you were too busy to hang out with me. I'm the king of the universe. I know everything. I'm telling you, you're not. The problem isn't time. It's what we do with our time. Let's give Mary a little credit. Let's give Mary some credit that she knew this stuff had to get done too. Let's give Mary some credit that she knew the meal needed to be made and she knew it needed to be cleaned up. But in that moment, she was able, listen to me, to prioritize the important over the urgent. She was able to say, there are urgent things here, but this is a more important thing. Jesus is at my house and he wants to talk to me. The laundry can wait. When's the last time you in your life, just think about it, when's the last time you in your life were able to prioritize the important over the urgent? The important things like time with God and time with your spouse or time with your significant other or time with your family or time with your kids or time with your friends or to do something that was going to provide value in your life. When is the last time you were able to put down the chores, put down the tasks, put down the laundry, put down the making of the meals, and just simply play a board game with your kids? Or just to call someone, just to have a conversation with no agenda. Just say, hey, I love you. Just want to call you and talk to you and see how you were doing. And here's what I know is happening. Now, some of you are pushing back right now because when I talk about laundry, when I talk about cooking, you're like, but those things are important. And I agree with you. They are 100% important. Martha thought they were incredibly important, and they are. They are. I'm not saying they're not. No, they weren't bad things. This is the problem with busy is better. If they were bad things, we'd know and we'd stop doing them. The problem with busy is better is that all these good things make us so busy, they block us from the best things. Of course, having a home that people can be welcomed into, I mean, that is a virtue espoused in both the Old and the New Testament, to be hospitable. The problem for Martha was that she was so busy, she missed the fact that Jesus was in her house and he wanted to talk to her. She was so busy, she couldn't even step back for a moment and stop and wonder, is this the best? Which is why I said at the beginning, it's why I think what Jesus is really trying to teach us through the story. When it comes to me, when it comes to you, when it comes to our lives, God wants better than busy. He wants better than busy for your life. And he wants better than busy for my life. Why? Because busy often blocks what's best. Everything Martha was doing was a good thing, but it blocked her from the best thing. And over the next few weeks, that's what we're going to wrestle with, is are there good things in our life that are blocking us from the best things? Because here's what you're thinking right now. How can being the room mom for all three of my kids be a bad thing? How can taking this promotion be a bad thing? How can having five business dinners a week while we're making money for our organization, which is going to provide for our family, be a bad thing? How can coaching four different sports at the same time be a bad thing? And it's very simple. It becomes a bad thing when it blocks you from the best things. That's what Jesus is trying to say. In that moment, Martha was blocked from the best things. And I am convinced the more we live our lives believing that busy is better and constantly striving to do more and never stopping to ask the question, is this best? We will be blocked from the best. But I know what you're wondering, and it's a question I wonder. How do we know what's the best? How do we know what the right thing to do is? How do we know what to keep? How do we know what to cut? How do we know? That's a great question. And it's what we're going to spend the next few weeks wrestling with. And I'm convinced by the end of this series, you will know the answer. You will probably not know the answer by the end of today. My goal today was to just simply get us all to admit there's a problem. And not only admit that there's a problem, but to admit what the problem is. Because the problem isn't time. The problem is what we do with our time. We do not need more time. We need more clarity. We do not need more time. We need clearer priorities. We need to invite God in, and we need to make choices like Mary made choices. Mary knew what had to be done. She wasn't blind to it. She just knew in that moment the best thing was to hang out with Jesus. And because she trusted Jesus, she was like, well, if he's here and he wants me to hang out with him, well, then I'm just going to have the faith in him that he knows what's best for me. So I'm going to hang out with him, and then everything else that needs to get done, I'll get it done. Or if I don't get it done, it didn't need to be done. But Jesus, I trust you. And ultimately, that's the goal. That's the goal for each of us, to get to the place where with something as precious to us as time, that we can be open-handed with it and that we can trust the God of the universe, that he knows better how to manage it than we do. And it begins with this fundamental truth. The problem isn't time. It's what we do with our time. In other words, the problem isn't external. The problem is internal. The problem isn't everybody else. The problem is me. If you constantly feel like you do not have enough time in the day, what Jesus is lovingly trying to say to you, just like he said to Martha, is I think you're focused on the wrong things. So invite me into your life and let me help change your focus. Let me help change your clarity, because the problem isn't time. The problem is what we do with our time. So what is a step? What is a practical step that we can take to try to figure this out? It's very simple. In fact, it's so simple, some of you might laugh at it, but I'm telling you, this is the beginning of inviting God in. What would happen if every time this week you felt a little tension, you felt a little stretched, you felt like you were about to become this slinky, and you just don't know what to do, you don't know what to cut, you don't know where to go, you just don't know, you know something's wrong, and you thought it was time, but you realize, okay, maybe it's not time, maybe it's my priorities, but I don't know where to turn. What would happen if every time you felt that, you stopped, and rather than Googling, rather than calling a friend, what if you simply stopped and asked this question? God, is this the best use of this time in my life? What would happen if you just invited him into the moment and say, I feel overwhelmed. I feel like I'm drowning. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. God, is this the best? Is this the best use of my time? And if it's not, please show me what is. See, here's the amazing thing about this question. Even if you don't believe in God, you can ask him that question. You can still take a tiny step towards him and say, okay, even, you know, if for you, if you want to say like, all right, God, if you're real, and like roll your eyes, you can do that. It's okay. He's a big boy. He won't get upset. But I'm telling you, invite God in to the conversation. Invite God in to the moment. And here's what you'll find. You will begin to discover that you're probably not running according to what you say you value. And there probably are some priorities out of whack. And look, we have 3 weeks left, so you don't have to get clarity yet. You don't have to know how to change your life yet. Like, I don't expect your life to change overnight. This is a 4-week journey, and I hope you'll come back for every week of it. But you're gonna have some homework. And the homework today is to begin asking this question. But we want to help remind you. We want to give you a reminder. So on the way out, you're each going to get a slinky. Now, you're going to get a plastic slinky. You're not going to get a metal slinky. Sorry, I know. Yeah, whatever. I'll give this one away. Somebody wants it. But you're going to get a slinky. And here's what I want you to do with it. I want you to put it somewhere where you'll see it. I want you to maybe to put it in your desk at work, put it in your car, put it somewhere where you're getting ready. Maybe if you're a family, you can put it on a refrigerator. But I want you to see, I want you to put it somewhere where you're going to see it every day this week. And when you feel tugged, when you feel stretched, when you feel like you're getting to that point, I want you to remember the truth that God spoke to us today. And it's this: God wants better than busy for your life. So if you are always feeling busy and stretched and never able to rest, just know the God of the universe wants better for your life. And he doesn't want better just so you can be devoted to him more. It's not a selfish thing. He wants better because busy often blocks what's best. Your busy is blocking God's best for your life. And so put your slinky somewhere where you'll see it. And maybe even if you really want to get some extra credit, just take some time this week and just observe how you spend your time. Observe the choices you make without even thinking about it. Observe the decisions. Observe when you go out at night or what you do during the day. And I'm telling you, observe it and then begin asking this question. Just say, hey, God, is this the best use of this time in my life? Is this the best? Is this the best? And again, like I said, if you are a time management whiz and your time is perfect and you don't feel stressed and you have all the time in the world, change nothing. You're good. You got it. But I don't believe that describes most of us. I believe most of us could use some help. And I know God wants to deliver that help. And it begins with you inviting him in. God, is this the best use of this time in my life? And if you do not clearly know the answer to that question yet, do not be discouraged. Just come back next week. This is a 4-week series, and I assure you, by the end, I fundamentally believe God will have radically changed your life and your understanding of the time he gives you. and it will get better. And you want it to get better. You want what God wants. You want better than busy for your life. Because we've all experienced it. You've been blocked from what's best. I have certainly been blocked from what's best. In fact, if you come back for next week for no other reason, you should come back, because next week I'm going to tell you a story about, in my marriage, how busy blocked what was best. And if you've ever felt bad about something you've done, you won't feel bad after you hear my story. The staff has begged me for 3 weeks not to tell it. And I'm like, oh, I'm telling it. I'm telling it. Because I didn't know I was doing anything wrong. I was just chasing busy because I thought busy was better. We've been there, you've been there. But we don't have to stay. Because God wants better than busy. Because busy often blocks what's best. So this week, just ask the question, God, is this the best use of this time in my life? Be open for him to speak. And I assure you, he will. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for just your love and how you take care of us, and how specific you are with us, and how practical you are. And we just thank you that you care about something as mundane as our time, and that you want to make it the best. You want to help us make the most of this most precious resource in our lives. So, Father, I pray for every person in this room. May their hearts be open. May they at least be open to the idea that you have something to say about this. May they be open to the idea that the problem isn't time, it's what we do with our time. Father, may we ask you for clarity in this moment, where we invite you in to speak. And may you begin to change our hearts as only you can, to make our lives better as you always intended. It's in your son's name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.